Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 101. It's episode 101 of the Still City Insider Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jeremy Ritz, alongside the Jim Wexel. Jim, how are you today?
Yeah, see, if we would have only waited on episode 100, just like 4 hours, we could have actually had some fun things to talk about. That was last week. Episode 101, let's try to do better on the next 100 episodes.
Yes, but you know, our podcast, I think, was the catalyst for all those, the flurry of moves that happened. Yeah, so probably what's going to happen today, and it's funny because you said at the end of last week's episode, you said, as soon as we get off here, they're going to announce an inside linebacker got signed. And you were right. But the biggest news, a lot of changes in the quarterback room. We talked about last week, Russell Wilson joining the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the team makes even more noise by trading for quarterback Justin Fields. From the Chicago Bears, a player that was rumored to be connected to Pittsburgh, and they got him for pretty cheap. And let's start there, Jim. Justin Fields is a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Well, it's funny. Somebody had a post on our message board at Steel City Insider. Is Khan an idiot or a genius? And so that's why I was hoping you would start with. But, you know, because on one hand, Khan brought in a guy who's being paid $39 million to go away. Mm-hmm. And he also, Justin Fields is a former first round draft pick who he just got for a sixth round pick, a conditional draft pick next year. I mean, are these really good moves? But I think they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, talking about that, from all indications and reports, Wilson has been told he was a starter. Which led to, allegedly, Kenny Pickett requesting the trade out of Pittsburgh.
And there's no alleged about it. That's what happened.
Okay, that's what happened. And we're not going to spend any time talking about that. But with Fields now joining the room, Wilson is still inserted. He's the man. He's going to be the starter. But how does Fields play into this? I know that the Steelers could pick up his fifth-year option. How do you see this working out with him being here in Pittsburgh?
If they were to pick up his fifth-year option, it would make more sense to me about what they're going to do this year, is incorporate him in some packages and use him as a backup and groom him to be the starter next year. But I don't see them paying $25 million before May 2nd, before they even have him in a minicamp. Mm-hmm. They really don't know what they have. I mean, they watched a lot of tape. I know Tomlin's in there breaking down tape all the time. But you really don't know what you have until you coach a guy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that they'll try to extend his contract if they like what they see in training camp. But, you know, once the season starts, they're done. And if he goes and has a good season, he'll hit free agency again. And Russell Wilson will hit free agency again. You know, you won't be able to keep Russell Wilson for minimum wage. You may be able to talk him into staying for a moderately priced contract for a 36-year-old quarterback then. Mm-hmm. He's 35 now. So there are some options, but there's also a chance that both guys could leave after 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, you talked about packages or seeing what Fields is capable of this year. You know, if he is serving as the number two behind Wilson, I was reading your post on Fields, and you had two videos there that you shared of Fields taking off for two big, long touchdown runs. Do you think it's out of the question, or do you think it's feasible that Fields can be worked into this offense next year with Wilson as a starter on some running plays or maybe some RPOs? Do you think that'll be a wrinkle?
Yeah. But is that what you want? I mean, I was on a podcast yesterday and there were some comments about why do black quarterbacks always get compared to Cordell Stewart? Because I had compared Justin Fields to Cordell Stewart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's such a natural comparison, those two. I didn't call Charlie Batch the next Cordell Stewart or Byron Leftwich or Josh Dobbs. But these two guys are very similar. You know, Cordell could pass just well enough to keep you interested as a coach. I know the fans gave up on him a long time before the coach did. And I think Fields is the same way. I mean, he's not going to read zone defenses. He's not going to read defenses. At least he hasn't. So I don't know. Will the light go on? I don't know. And will you know if it goes on? And will it be too late if it goes on during the season and you haven't extended him? Mm-hmm. A lot of questions. I'm not saying these aren't, like I said, I do think it's a genius move. I think he was, Omar Khan was very fortunate that things happened the way he did. Let's just go over both of them. I mean, Russell Wilson is a minimum wage guy, 9-time Pro Bowler, minimum wage. You know, and we now know why that happened, but how often do you get a chance for that? Mm-hmm. And so a guy like Tomlin and their tradition and their uniform and their defensive players calling Russell Wilson, which no doubt didn't help Pickett's mindset. You know, those guys all wanted Russ and they talked him into it. It was a full scale recruiting pitch. And that's what you need when you can't just pile up money.
Yeah.
So that was fortuitous. And then, you know, somebody made a great post again on our message board. I'm stealing from him. But he had said there were 5 teams interested in Fields. And then free agency starts. The Bears had asked for a 2nd, a 4th, and a 6th. And then free agency started after all those teams said, that's too much for a guy that we don't even know if we're going to be able to extend. You're giving me a $25 million guaranteed price tag for 2 years from now, and I'm going to give you a 2nd, a 4th, and a 6th? No way. Everybody said no way, all 5 of those teams. Mm-hmm. 3 of those teams bought quarterbacks in free agency. So that left 2 teams after the first dust-up of free agency. The 2 teams were the Eagles and the Steelers.
Yeah.
And then the Steelers shipped Pickett to the Eagles. They were the only one. What? I mean, is that genius or is that just fortuitous? But either way, I think transforming the room with exciting players in a year where I was fully ready to watch them do Pickett and Mason Rudolph again, make sure Pickett, you give him his full opportunity as a first round draft pick. Because I saw some things I liked. Mm-hmm. But that would not have satisfied the fan base at all. I mean, there were already a lot of grumbling about that. And now, I mean, these aren't franchise guys for the future. It's not like they found a franchise guy. But, man, they made it exciting for next year. And not that they need ticket sales, but it's the kind of moves that Daniel Snyder used to make to sell tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, this was just fortunate. And because their franchise is able to recruit, because their coach is able to recruit, because they have those 3 big-time leaders that, you know, let me get into the leadership. I'm sorry to keep skipping around on you.
That's all good.
Well, you know, Denver had some problems with Russell Wilson. They didn't like his personality. They didn't like him as a leader. And I always found that weird because I told you I interviewed him at the Combine. I was very impressed. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean players are impressed. You know, Russell is well-educated and can speak with elegance and eloquence and he can look you in the eye and make you feel like you're worthy, you know? And so you walk away from talking to him feeling good. I don't know that defensive linemen feel that way when he's trying to come up to them on the sideline. But look how bad Denver was.
Yeah.
So they just had low energy leadership. You come over here, you know, TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, Cameron Hayward, those are 3 elegant, eloquent, intelligent guys who are leaders, tough guys, but they know what it's about, what they need to win. And, you know, they're not going to turn their backs on Russell Wilson if he comes pumping them up on the sideline like the Denver players did. I think that was caught on tape somewhere, a microphone.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen in Pittsburgh. And so this was a great selling point, and it could be a marriage made in heaven. And, you know, I think Ed Bouchette tweeted the other day that the Steelers Super Bowl odds went from 55 to 40 to 1. And I know at 55 to 1, I wasn't buying. I wasn't even going to have 10 bucks down there. But at 40 to 1 with these guys, I might throw 20 bucks out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I could tell you just, you know, being from Pittsburgh area, one of my friends who's a really good friend, Jake, I got a phone call. It was on Saturday. And I was like, why is Jake calling me? And he's like, you're never going to believe that Pittsburgh just traded for Justin Fields. So there's definitely an air of enthusiasm, excitement amongst the fan base, just from the people that I've talked to. And I agree. It's going to put some butts in seats next year. And I think there's no question. I would say that the quarterback room is better than it was last year. I mean, if you, and again, I know that I was critical of Russell Wilson, but you're bringing in a guy who's played in multiple Super Bowls. He's won one. It's definitely elevated. And just to go back to the point where he said, you know, Khan being a genius, the economy or the efficiency of cost and how these players were acquired. Like you said, Russell Wilson, minimum wage, they gave a bag of peanuts for Justin Fields. What was a 6-round pick? It could be a 4th-round pick. I mean, there's got to be some credit given to Khan for making this happen because it's pretty phenomenal.
I credit him for his patience and not jumping at Fields earlier. I give him patience for that, but these moves came from Tomlin. These are guys Tomlin wanted. We know how this works. I keep preaching this on the show. You get it, I'm sure. But I don't know that we can believe that Omar Khan called Mike Tomlin's office and say, hey, I just got you Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Oh, wow, great, thanks.
Yeah, it's definitely an upgrade over Trubisky, Pickett, and Rudolph from last year, no doubt. And it's definitely a lot to be excited about heading into the draft, which is coming up here pretty soon. But Jim, not just the quarterback position, but several other players added through free agency. We talked about how you said at the end of last week's show, they're probably going to sign an inside linebacker. Patrick Queen is now Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, he wants to be a villain. He runs a 4.5 40. He's a good blitzer, not so good in pass coverage, but 4.5 speed. You know, at least he can stay close to receivers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that speed on the field. If you can get it at every position, that's, you know, they don't call him the Buck and the Mac anymore. But Landon Roberts and Patrick Queen are just stereotypical Buck and Mac. Landon Roberts is the run-stuffing Buck, and the Mac linebacker's often been the Lawrence Timmons. I mean, I think Shazier was born to be a Mac, but because he was a leader and had to call the signals, he became the Buck. But those kind of players, the run and hit guys, the guys who can blitz, the playmakers are perfect Macs. And it seems like what they have in Patrick Queen.
Yeah. And it definitely alleviates some of the pressure heading into the draft that they have to find an inside linebacker, being able to sign Queen, but the Steelers weren't done there. There's a trade of Deontay Johnson. They acquired cornerback Dante Jackson. They signed wide receiver Van Jefferson, safety Deshaun Elliott, and then re-signed Montrevious Adams and Miles Killebrew. So just such activity. Is this Pittsburgh?
Oh, you know, it's always been Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger was a quarterback for 18 years, so they didn't have to change quarterbacks, right? They didn't have to frantically search like every team has to all the time for quarterbacks until they get their franchise guy. And also Ben ate up the salary cap, so there was really that lessened the maneuvers. I mean, you can go back into the 80s, the 60s, the 50s, making just ridiculous trades for old quarterbacks, bad quarterbacks. Buddy Parker got fired by Dan Rooney because he wanted to trade Ben McGee or Chuck Hinton, one of the two young defensive linemen they thought were going to be the future there. They eventually got replaced by the Steel Curtain. I mean, they didn't become as good as everyone thought, but there's no way Dan Rooney was going to trade one for an old backup quarterback named King Hill from Philadelphia. And Buddy Parker resigned, and Dan said, okay. Buddy was drunk, and the next day he called Dan back and asked if he could rescind his resignation, as he always did with the Chief. And Dan said, no. Yeah, I'm not rescinding. You're done. And so, but anyway, they traded two number ones for 34-year-old Ed Brown. And then when they got Ed Brown into camp, he was so bad, they tried to talk Bobby Lane into unretiring because they had forced him out.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, trading for quarterbacks, 1957 was the last time this has happened, though.
Okay.
The new room, as you like to put it.
The new room.
Entire position has been eviscerated and rebuilt. And I think was in 57, they drafted Lenny Dawson instead of Jim Brown, which Lenny Dawson was pretty damn big Hall of Fame quarterback. They traded. He wasn't a Hall of Famer for them. Lenny Dawson and Jack Kemp, who eventually went, they cut him because he was a punter. Mm-hmm. And he didn't listen to Buddy Parker's direction, so they cut him because after a bad punt in a preseason game. And they traded for Earl Morrill, a bunch of picks for Earl Morrill. And that was 57. So, I mean, these are your great-grandfather's Steelers, not your father's Steelers. Your father watched Ben Roethlisberger.
I think we're going to call this episode The New Room. I think you're always just naming stuff, Jim. I mean, you got a knack for that.
I never name room. That's you. I don't name it room. I hate that saying. I do.
Okay.
The room. It's not a room. I mean, okay, there's a room with three guys sitting in it. That's I keep picturing this. The room. How you guys are in the room? Well, we're different in the room than we are in the locker room. We're on the field. Because in the room, nobody can see us, and we really have fun. In the room. It's weird.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up with this question. So with all the moves that have been made thus far, how does it change the draft strategy? What are you looking at rounds one and two? Still the same? Or do you have some adjustments based on the pickups?
Well, you know, this defense can be elite if they're not on the field so often. I mean, they need help on the offensive line. Keep that running game going in the direction that it was going last year. And then Russell Wilson can work some magic. And I assume they're going to get a free agent, a receiver and free agent. I mean, right after the show. You know what I mean? Like last time. Maybe not right after the show like last time. But, I mean, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd. There are some other big-time names floating about, but I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
So they shouldn't have to draft receiver. I hope not. And they need a center. They need a tackle. They need a defensive tackle. Not a need, but if they want to rebuild their foundations properly, I think they need to take another defensive tackle high.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't rule out a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They have Bo Nix falls to 20. Not that I love Bo Nix, but if they do, I mean, they're smarter than me. They watch more tape. Yeah, if you feel he's a guy, okay, because you don't know if you're going to have a quarterback in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a position when you don't have a franchise guy, you've got to always keep looking and thinking. And they're doing a good job. They're thinking properly. I mean, Omar is on the ball. And but I don't think stopping there. I'm not saying they must draft a quarterback. If you love someone, maybe second round, maybe Penix falls to the second round, but I just watched a mock draft. It doesn't seem like Penix is going to fall to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So Spencer Rattler in the second round, I haven't watched enough of him, but I know that's where everybody's putting him, and he has all the tools.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to be considered the number one until he lost his job to Caleb Williams at Oklahoma. Then they both transferred to schools named USC.
So the
one went to Southern Cal, one went to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Now I'm back. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So the draft strategy obviously is going to be impacted by who the team brings in as free agents, who they're trading for. So we'll continue to watch to see if more dominoes fall here, especially once we get off of the show. If something does come up, I'll have to put the end of this video at the beginning so I can say, see, Jim called it here. But I think that's going to do it for 101, Jim, because we got to get off so we can go see who the Steelers signed a wide receiver, right?
Good call. Way to end it, Jeremy.
There we go. All right, you can check out Jim's work at the Steel City Insider. Give him a follow on X at Jim Wexel, and we will see you back here next week for episode 102 of the Steel City Insider podcast. Have a great week, everyone. See you, Jim.
Hey, Jeremy.
All right, take care.